is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma, sponsored by Clifton Larson Allen CPAs. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH and KKOH.com.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studios. Yes. Hey, you Guard Show listeners, you want to hold tight. You know what? I know you're out there thinking of your Olympic dreams. Today in studio, I've got Olympic athletes, not from Puerto Rico, but from the great United States of America.
Ka-ching. That's all the same. $5.
Of course, in studio, I've got Katrina Loftin-Winkle, who's counting at the cash register how many times I say Puerto Rico.
That would be 10 now. Okay. I think 15.
15?
Since you got here, yes.
And what's our charity?
We haven't decided yet.
So we'll do that today. And we're talking about the business of being an Olympian. So as you're watching the Olympics, cool. I have Darren Ralves in studio. You want to stay tuned? One of, or maybe the most decorated men's skiers from the great United States of America. So again, Mike Bosma, each and every week we come to you with 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. Katrina, how much trouble am I going to get in today?
I don't know. You're kind of feisty so far.
I am a little feisty.
I don't know.
Got the cowboy boots on.
I've got the calculator out. Don't worry.
Okay, that's awesome. All right, without further ado, Darren Ralves. Darren Ralves, welcome to Bosma on Business.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here. Good to see you on the other side of the table or something a little different.
A little different than the conference room table.
You don't have a mic in our face.
Right. That's a different kind of mic in your face.
Yeah.
So, Darren, tell us about your business. If I ran into you in a bar, or, you know, at the bottom of the, you know, in the tavern and you're talking about your business, what would you say?
Well, for me personally, it's all been about skiing. And,
right.
I've been able to like roll over my ski racing career into a few different aspects of the ski sport world, and it's really like I put on events. I work with companies on product design. I work with youth in the national team. Still, actually, right. They're okay. Over in the Olympics racing. I work with them on more just like the mental aspect, you know, the confidence. Some sort of like, you know, tactics that are involved of skiing fast. And,
okay.
And then, you know, just also like working with the family business and commercial real estate. So,
okay. So
that's kind of where, I guess,
you're all over the place today here. All right. No, that's good. Well, that's what I wanted to do for, I guess, the benefit of our listeners. What I want to do is talk about is we're watching the Olympics. USA. Well, how do these Olympians make all this work from an economic perspective? You know, how do sponsorships work? What can they do? What are they not allowed to do? Clearly, Russia found out it's not okay to promote something. I don't know. What did they do, Darren? Any idea?
Well, it was all about just there's a lot of athletes getting tested positive for doping.
Ah, okay.
And so the Russian Federation was banned from the Olympics. Now these Russian athletes have been clean. They haven't been kind of in that like
doping scandal or getting tested positive.
They now compete as like a separate entity from Russia.
Wow. So they banned the country, but they said, well, we'll let you compete.
Yeah, so you'll see like OAR.
Right. Or.
Yeah.
So other
or Olympic, like I think it stands for Olympic athlete from Russia.
Russia,
you know?
Right. Yeah. All right.
That makes sense.
So don't quote me on that, but that's pretty much the gist of it. But
okay, so Russia gets caught doping too many times. They boot him out, but they're like, hey, if you didn't get caught in this doping scheme, we'll let you participate.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's just so unfair,
country.
Man. There's right. so much work that goes into right. like trying to be the best in the world and compete at that stage.
Right.
And if you want to go back to the economic side real quick, it's, you know, if you're really, I mean, you want to be 2 years out from the Olympics, one of the top contenders, because that's when all the endorsement deals start rolling in.
Right.
You see like Lindsey Vonn, Michaela Schifrin right. are leaders for the American team, and they're all over the, you know, TV with Visa commercials. And
so how does that work? That's right, what I want to talk about. So like, you know, Vonn, Schifrin, so they're Olympic athlete and they'll ink a deal with Visa.
Yeah.
And like, how do you even negotiate that?
Well, I mean, at that level, you have an agent, you
right.
know, agents, Like for me and for Lindsey Vonn, it's been IMG down in Santa Monica. And
now that was a guy that was Jerry Maguire's company. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
That's what we're always trying to do. You know, it's like it's as an athlete, you want to just focus on one thing. It's like doing everything you need possibly to do to be the best, right? And then on the back end, yes, it's good to get paid for that.
Right.
So you need somebody else. It's like that's their business,
right? Because it's not like professional athletes where you win a race, you win money. This is amateur, quote unquote.
Yeah, but everybody's making money these days.
And that's where, how do you make money?
And so, like, so 2 years out, those deals are done, you know?
Right.
So you just pick Visa, for example, and you'll get, like, a contract with a specific retainer. And then on performance base, too, if you get a gold, silver, bronze, there's actual payouts there as well.
So the Schifrin... Not so bueno on the slaloms.
Yeah, it was a rough go. I mean, for her, I mean, that was
first
such
run
a surprise.
Right. I shocked everybody, and she gave a good run, the second run, but ended up not on the podium. That cost her some money in that endorsement deal.
But I mean, she's making enough, or she's not worried about the money now.
Right, she's just trying
it's
to be
more
at the top
just
of her
like
game.
Pride,
right?
You know, and for her, she was so dominant in slalom over the last couple of years. I mean, we had the World Cup at Squaw Valley last March.
Okay.
And the girls did a test event in Pyeongchang for speed. So downhill and super G.
Right.
They come to Squaw before the Aspen World Cup finals. Yeah. She wins the GS and slalom on a really difficult hill. But since then, like, no one's been able to touch her in slalom.
Right.
She went out one time, DNF'd in a slalom before the Olympics. But besides that, she was just dominant. On a run, like five or six wins in a row.
Wow. Right.
It just shows, like, you know, there's a lot of pressure. And, I mean, for her, you know, it's just, like, hands down, she's a favorite. And there's a lot of attention.
Well, and everybody's gunning for
her, pressure.
Right?
I don't know if you saw that, but she was, you know, vomiting, like, uncontrollably at the start before her first run.
Oh, my.
Just the nerves are crazy.
Wow.
And I always felt that anxiety. And, I mean, I could eat, like, a horse every morning. And then it'd come race day, and something was different. The emotions, I could hardly even eat.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like relying on the fuel you had all week.
Right. That's like me on April 15th. It's like go time, right?
The stress and pressure.
I can't even compare. I'm trying to be funny. I just probably offended everyone.
It's all relative. You know, everybody has that moment where there's a lot on the line. You've worked so hard for it. And the more you work hard for something, the higher the stakes are for you personally, you know, to perform. And when you have that opportunity... Yes, you just want to treat it as like any other day and let loose. But you can't really treat it like any other day.
No, especially if there's money riding. I didn't realize the sponsorships work like that.
Yeah,
when there's money riding on it, too.
Level
of
sponsorship, right?
And so obviously to keep the sponsorship, you have to do well. So,
and there's a huge trickle. I mean, there's actually zero trickle-down effect, you know, with that. It's either the elite ones are making a lot of money.
And then
everybody else is like out of the top 10 in the world. They aren't making much.
Right.
Wow.
At least in skiing, you know, it's nothing like ball sports, stick and ball over here.
Right.
In the U.S., but.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what we just want to be able to kind of talk about kind of your journey and how, you know, growing up, you know, your dad was kind of, I'm trying to remember, he was a water skier, if I recall, right?
Yeah. Grew up in Clear Lake, Northern California, like actually in Oakland, and summertimes they go to Clear Lake, and he got really competitive in water skiing. Actually, he was a world champion, record holder in ski jumping for 6 years.
Right.
Wow.
And,
cool.
You know, it just, his whole thing growing up with us, it was like, we skied together. We were on the lake a bunch together, but it was like, there's time to work hard and then there's time to play hard.
Right.
And I've been basically figuring out how to play hard my whole life.
Well,
through a little work. Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people, they look at, gosh, you get a ski full time. How hard is that? So I guess that's the question. How hard is that?
Well, I mean, if you want to be good at it, you know, it takes a lot of effort. And there's obviously some talent there, but I've always looked at it like talent only takes you so far.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work is what gets you there.
Right.
And if you look at me, you know, I'm not the typical downhiller size. And those guys are big, you know, they're like 200 to 230 pounds. Like, you know, I mean, just big, strong guys.
Well, gravity's working for them to get down.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I was 5'9", 180, 185 pounds when I was really like, you know, in fighting, you know, shape for skiing. But I was told by a sponsor of mine that I had no chance being competitive in downhill in that event. I had to stick to GS and Super G, which are a little more of the technical events,
right?
But still some speed. But my ultimate thrill and rush again was going to be downhill.
Okay.
And I won that. And when I had this one race director from this one brand saying, hey, don't focus on downhill, have no chance, that kind of gave me extra fuel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll show you.
So yeah, awesome. I ended up switching brands that year and went the next season and won two World Cup downhill. So
yeah, that was so the best in the world in downhill because somebody told you you can't.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like
it wasn't just I want to show them up, but it was more like, hey, I mean, there's
it's
some
like
doubt.
A challenge. Yeah,
like this is even more for me to like go out there and
totally
see what I'm made of and what I can do. So that kind of challenge has always driven me. And even grew up in playing soccer when I was younger. I remember like falling over, gasping for air because I just wouldn't stop running.
Right. That's how you know you're done when you can't breathe anymore.
Yeah. You should be, but he got back up.
He got.
But
then you figure that out, like, okay, I'm going to train harder than I ever have to compete at, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And so I use Donner Summit as my training grounds up there a lot. And like Michaela, I was puking for another reason, though. It was more like, you know, not from the nerves, but actual physical.
Really no air. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's you're growing up. Obviously, your dad, 6-year world record holder. What is it like, growing up in that household? I mean, so like public school, mom stayed home. Or is it just like train, homeschool?
I mean, back then it's a whole different game too. It's like, I mean, we weren't growing up to be really, great at one sport or be really specific at something. Like nowadays, it's insane to see how many young kids, I mean, they're so focused,
Right.
And I push a little too much in my eyes. For us, like I grew up water skiing, playing tennis, golf, jet skiing. I raced jet skis for a while. I was actually expert world champ in that.
Okay.
I did like 3 or 4 years of that really competitively before I made the U.S. ski team, the national team. But then it was, wintertime, we pretty much skied on the weekends.
Right.
We lived in the Bay Area, came to Tahoe on the weekends. And then when I was 12, I was like, hey, I'm tired of this driving. My dad was like, this is nuts. Some days we're stuck on
I-80. Right.
8 hours.
Right.
In a snowstorm. And so we moved to Tahoe and did 2 years there. Wasn't really working out with school and skiing. And there's a lot of talk about the East Coast, what the East Coast offered, in Vermont especially. And there's 3 major ski academies that focus on just training and competitive ski racing.
Okay.
And with a good academic program, And so it's a balance. And it was like this coach from Squaw, when I was on the Squaw ski team, he was like, go check these things out, and if you want to take it there. And also the big draw was like 2 years ahead of me and my age, like those guys are the best in the nation.
Right. So you can see kind of 2 years
really
out.
Competitive.
If I took up my game.
Yeah, I want to be around the fastest kids I can be, because that's it's going to push me.
Okay.
So that's where I ended up taking my high school years.
It's fascinating because, a lot of people, they're like, they're afraid to move across town and change schools because of how traumatizing it's going to be for their kids.
Yeah.
That was tough. I mean, it was just like, hey, my parents are like, do you really want to pursue this?
Right. Well, let's do this when we come back. Yeah. What was the answer when Darren's folks says, hey, do you want to pursue it? What does yes look like in the Riles clan? You heard it here and only here. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. Yes, it's tax season. They're still issuing regulations and fixes for the Tax Act for last year. So, if you're banking on booking your vacation when you get your refund, you might want to put it on the credit card. It might be a little while for, actually the forms are even ready to file your taxes. There's still some things that are still in limbo. In studio, Katrina Loftenwinkle from M&A Business Advisors. Katrina, fascinating first segment.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I kind of feel like I want to
go out ski.
I want a world record.
Of something. Oh, I'm afraid to find out what.
No, I'm very motivated. In studio, okay. Darren Rouse, talking about being a 4-time Olympian?
Mm-hmm.
4-time Olympian.
Awesome.
How many times were won the World Cup?
12 World Cup wins, a World Championship win. A couple other medals at Worlds.
Just 12 World Cup wins. Just one World Championship. That's all. You know, I really didn't hit my full potential, but...
Yeah. I retired early.
So that's where we were talking about the business of being an athlete, and that's where I appreciate Darren. I know him and his family. Great family, great story, great... And just really the... Not only, you know, I think there's a misnomer out there where people look at people that are successful, that have attained levels of success, and they're like, oh, well, I chose my family. You know, I wanted to be home for, and I, you know, well, it all matters, right? I mean, you talk about, you know, a very competitive family, but you guys skied on the weekends, and you picked up and moved east to, like, maybe take your game up on the ski thing. So, you know, Katrina...
Yeah, that's awesome.
You ever an athlete?
No.
Just beauty queen, right? You were just out there, just batting your eyebrows.
No, never.
Never.
Nope, none of that stuff, no.
Okay. Never competed? I won anything?
I raced. Yeah, race cars.
Well, I was going to say, softball here.
Yes, I raced cars. Softball. Yes,
race
yes,
cars.
Yes. No, I know
go
that
fast,
feeling.
Drive, of, fast, take chances.
Yes, yes. I know that feeling before races. Yeah.
Right. Katrina, what kind of cars did you race?
I had a Nissan 350. I did open road racing, out in Ely and Vegas. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Super fun.
And then she's married to Mike Winkle, and he does off-road racing.
He does off-road racing and used to be a skier also. He trained for the Olympics, but never went.
Never made it.
Never made it. So
Darren bumped him.
God, I was going to have him listen to this show, and now I can't have him listen.
Because
he'd love it.
But yeah, and Mike's raced with Rod Hall, the most decorated off-road racer on the planet.
Of all time. Yeah.
So, you know, actually, you look at you winning, and I think that's where in life and in business, it's really trying to find a recipe to win. And I think a lot of times as I look at business owners, the successful ones, they're relentless. They're just like, you know what? I had I had a hard week. You know, I had some personnel issues that just working through. And it was just like, you know, you just run into people that are just, they see the world differently than you. And they're not necessarily team players. And, you know, everything's a problem. Everything's drama, you know? And I was just like, I remember it started getting me down a little bit. I'm like, you know what? Now, how blessed am I that I get to do what I do? I absolutely love what I do for a living. I help businesses be more successful. You're like, who gets to do this?
Yeah.
It's almost like being able to ski all day. And that's where I think a lot of times people, they kind of lose sight of the blocking and tackling. They're like, you know, I remember I walked into a meeting last week, it was able to, you know, actually a listener came in and I was able to, you know, they were like, well, you said this optional California tax and we kind of made that magic happen. It's like, no, you're actually doing it wrong. You do it this way and cut your tax in half. And then if we plan, we can pretty much make almost all of it go away. And I'm like, and that's just, and we're not even in a risky territory. This is just, you're just not doing it right because your accountant's in California. She doesn't understand if you're doing, you know, you're providing those services in Nevada. But I was like, so they like, you know, I walk in, for literally 15 minutes, save the guy $20,000, walk out. But that's all of the preparation goes into all the hard work before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in studio, Darren Ryle was talking about his Olympic journey. And that's where I think a lot of people, they look at the, you know, couple minutes or seconds even skiing downhill and they're like, oh gosh. And you got a big, you know, paycheck, you got this endorsement deal just because you skied. What kind of training regimen does it take to be successful in your sport?
Well, I got to say first, I mean, it's like, your start gate is going into the meetings with these, you know, your clients,
right,
face to face.
Yeah.
And there's so much like preparation and build up to that level, you know. But then like our 2 minutes on the race hill is like your 15 minutes in the
exactly
boardroom, right?
Right?
Or in the conference room.
Yeah,
that's
yeah
awesome. So
yeah, and that's where they look at, well, gosh, I'm paying you this much money. It's like, no, it's all of, literally the hundreds of hours of study.
Oh, it's what you know. I mean, that most people don't. So, it's invaluable.
And I've always been a fan of the back end of things, you know, like a big sport for me that I love, I've always followed, had a lot of passion, was motocross.
Right.
And one of the greatest of all time, they call him the GOAT, Ricky Carmichael. And I got to meet him and hang out with him in his RV.
Oh, wow.
Up in Washougal, this one race in Washington. And it was a point in my career, too, where I was like, I'm traveling around Europe. Like, we're going to a new place every week. I'm like, this would be kind of cool to have, like, an RV or a bus on the road.
On the road, right?
And I got to the point where Red Bull, they were never involved in ski racing. I was actually the platform, the first ski racer to be tied in with the brand over in Europe. And they were an Austrian company. Ski racing in Austria is huge. But they're always, instead of just like, oh, we want to put our like logo on, you know, whatever, this event or this athlete, they're always looking for ways to like improve the performance of their athletes. Okay. So it's like, what can we do to help you out? And I went through like a crazy training testing program. I was like blending like a U.S. ski team program with a Red Bull like a sports science program. And then, you know, they're
Red
like,
Bull Gatorade hopped up on caffeine, right?
Yeah. It tastes way better than that.
Okay.
But I'm saying that they, you know, behind the scenes, they offered me like, okay, let's get you this bus. So you have a place. It's like you're home on wheels. You're over there and you're for 3 months. You know, I had like a spin bike in there, the oxygen tank. Recover in there, warm up. I had my own food. I had my own like gear. I had a driver that took care of that. I was ripping around an Audi over in Europe. So I just like, I'd show up. This whole like bus would be set up for me. And then it'd be like my spot just to kind of like
train,
get away. Crazy, the amount of fans and all that. And,
okay.
And then like my wife would come over, bring our dog. And it was kind of like home in Europe, and that's
okay.
To feel comfortable is number one, right?
Right, right.
If you feel like out of place or uncomfortable, you're not gonna like just reach your potential, whatever it is.
Right.
Your potential window goes down so small. Whereas like when you're really relaxed and things are just right, you have such a bigger window to reach that like that the best, you know,
right,
best that, game you got.
Right. And the margin of difference.
Yeah,
right?
That's so true.
Between
yeah.
even your first and last. It is literally tenths of a second, right?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's
hundreds.
What,
I mean, it comes
hundreds,
down. It's
right.
crazy. Like the men's podium for downhill, the Pyeongchang, they had 18 one-hundredths of a second.
Wow.
For three guys at podium. I mean, that's not even the tightest race. I mean,
right.
That's happened. But you think about that, take your stopwatch and try and hit 0.18 on the stopwatch.
Every time,
you can't do it fast
right,
enough.
Yeah.
Right?
You think about three guys within 2 minutes
right.
that are like, you know, that tight.
Yeah, wow.
It's all those little things. I mean, equipment tests. I was just down in before the Olympics, in December. I had a job with Spyder, U.S. ski team and U.S. Olympic Committee to test speed suits. So the suits that the Americans are running and Lindsey Vonn, you know, racing in the downhill, like hopefully it helps her out. But we did just runs through like this low speed wind tunnel. But trying to find the best advantage for our athletes.
Right. And you're part of that. And so they figured, hey, let's try and make our Olympic team a little bit better, give them a competitive advantage. So let's do this. Let's talk about how to get your competitive advantage when you monetize your sport. It's the Olympic show on Bosma on Business. Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. You know, are you looking around you kind of wondering, am I what I really think my creator made me to be? Am I capturing all of the potential that maybe I could have? Well, the reality is if you listen to this show, you'd listen to Darren Ralph talk about his journey and maybe, you know, about the different things you've excelled in and just trying to find a different way or a better way. And, you know, how fun is that? You know, you got Katrina Lofton Winkle from M&A Business Advisors talking about driving fast and taking chances, legally, of course.
Of course.
Race car driver. But the one thing we all have in common is we've all raced off-road.
Yeah.
So now you're on a motorcycle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Darren?
Yeah. Two wheels.
Two wheels.
I started getting into it the last couple of years, too, with some local like hair scrambles and stuff in like the local desert here up in Tahoe. Right. Donner Ski Ranch holds a really, really awesome event up there, too. So that's kind of home turf because I ski at Sugar Bowl. So.
Right. So you know the terrain, right?
But,
so,
cool.
Now, have you done off-road or just?
I've chased in the Baja 1000,
okay.
which is scary, and I've been a navigator briefly.
Briefly.
That's even worse. I much prefer to drive.
Right. Can take control your own destiny.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, I did the Mint 400. Of course, when I did the Mint 400, I was out with a buddy at 75 GMC. And just out to go watch it. You know, I had kind of the cooler of beers in the back, and we got to this one place where we couldn't we couldn't get over there was this berm, and it was like, I can see this great viewing platform for the race. So I just waited for a break in the action, and I just took off on the track, you know? And I'm like, this is fun. All of a sudden, this big dust storm hit. And all of a sudden, I couldn't see anything. I slammed on the brake, and I rear-ended a rail in front. I'm like, I'm that guy that took off, like, over sagebrush. And
so you poached the racetrack. You weren't an actual competitor.
I completely. Yeah.
You just jumped in on it.
I was 22, but don't hold it against me.
That's a renegade right there.
Yeah. I can't believe that just happened. Like,
How many miles of the 400 did you make?
About a quarter.
Yeah. Quarter of a mile.
Just trying to get over to a better view platform. So I'm driving now. Of course, I'm freaked out. I'm going up all of these whoop-de-doos. The battery, because it's not bolted down, goes into the radiator, just blows. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's a whole day ordeal.
Love it.
So, but you guys had much better success than I did.
Yeah.
You actually were supposed to finish
right. The race. That's the most important part of the
just
race.
Just to finish.
It's just to finish.
Gotcha.
And hard to do, actually, in off-road.
Now, Darren, you retired a number of years ago.
Well, I'll take that back. Sure. I actually transitioned. Yeah.
Okay.
Because what I wanted to do is I saw a lot of guys like fading off in the sport or getting hurt, and I want to leave on a high note.
Right.
And, I had a run of like from 2001 to 2006 of being top three in overall standings. And, I figured like, okay, I'm calling it. I called it the beginning of the race season in Beaver Creek in Colorado. At a press conference, like, this is my last season, 2006. We had the Olympics there.
Right, okay.
I mean, coming up that season, I wanted to make sure, basically, I took every advantage I had throughout the whole season to really soak it up and know that, hey, this is the last time I'm going to race this like track. And I mean, we go all over the world, mostly in Western Europe. But you start in North America, you're in Italy, you go to Switzerland, Austria, back to Italy, Norway. I mean, it's a pretty exciting run,
right?
You know, for being a ski racer, and you have no idea as an American what it's like, and do you get over there? But this is kind of my world, and I had a great ending season, except for the Olympics. I had three downhill wins. I was leading the standings in downhill, win the first train running downhill. This crazy. I mean, I still can't believe it. Still, kind of it just makes me like I want to pound my fist. You know, it's something. You know, I think back to it, but I was in the starting gate. And Bodie Miller, who's commentating right now, he's my teammate.
Right.
Back then, he was two guys in front of me. He went down. He got fourth across the line. And our ski techs, we're both on Atomic together. Our ski techs, we have each one of our own individual guys that works on our skis, but
sure.
They work together. And I'm like in the start gate, a minute out to kick out, and you have 2 minute intervals. So it's like I'm there by myself, like getting in the zone, stomping my feet. And I have my tech like grab me by the shoulders, kick me on my skis, slap another pair of skis right next to me on the ground. So you go on those now. And that, I mean, talk about like...
Because you can't think, right? You're just like, I'm on the clock.
That's his job. We right? go over all the skis, right. Testing them, skiing on them. We make the decision. But when it comes down to like, race day, like he preps the skis and whatever he makes fastest, I'm going on to race. And it was kind of like a reset real quick for me. I'm like, this is a shock. This has never happened to me before.
Right.
One of my biggest races ever.
And, this is the Olympics.
Yeah.
Is
Olympics
it the finals?
In Torino, in Sestriere in Italy.
Right.
And, I just click into those skis and just clear my head and go. And I felt like I came down with a good run. I come across the finish. I was in seventh.
Oh.
And I just I was just shaking my head like, what
happened? Right.
The hell just happened?
Right.
And, best thing you could do is just suck it up. You give your best shot. And later on, like, you get splits. Like, in downhill, it's about a two-minute track, so you get about six sections of, like, we call it the timing analysis.
Right.
And I was looking through, and every section where there's gliding or softer snow is, like, 2-3 tenths back. And there's one section about 26 seconds long, icy, rough, it was, like, more kind of, like, how tactically you're skiing and how aggressive you're skiing.
Right.
I won that by 4 tenths.
Right.
And so...
So it was the skis.
Yeah. It came down material.
Wow.
And they thought Bodie basically didn't know he blew it on this one section. They thought it was a ski.
Okay.
Prep.
Right.
And I mean, they're so close, you know, but when you're like losing 0.2 of a second, like we're just talking about.
Right, yeah, that's just right. First and seventh, right?
When you're losing that every 25 seconds on the course,
right.
You
can't make it up.
You can't make it up. Yeah, that's why.
Technical ability won't make up.
Yeah, so, the equipment, you know, right. I went back and I looked at analysis. I'm looking at shaking my head, go to the ski room, see my tech, and he's just like, he had a hard time looking me in the eye.
Right.
Because he knew he blew it.
You didn't hit him?
No, I mean, just like, whatever. He was trying as hard as I was.
He's doing his job. Yeah.
But it was just like, it was just one of those times, like, you don't want to screw up, you know, right. your skis in a race like this. Right. Like, maybe training, try something like that. But not like when, you know, the biggest race, you know, it was like the last year for me. Like, this is
right.
like icing,
this is
right?
the swan song.
And I've won world championships. I've, you know, I've got a silver and bronze at worlds and not in the Olympics. And this is it. Boom. Right. And it's gone. And then it was a heartbreaker, and it was a tough one to just rebound from. But at the end of the season, still in World Cup, I ended up like getting back on the podium twice, and so it was a good ending. Like, I, you know, looking back, it's like you do everything you possibly can to like put yourself in the best place to perform, and then you take the chance. I took the chance. It wasn't like I was holding back,
right?
And so that's what I can be happy with and move along,
right?
You know, through that career, but. And so racing is over. I want to try ski cross with the X Games.
Right.
And it, like, this is like head to head. It's on the in the Olympics now too.
Well, yeah, that's the craziest thing.
So it's like moto on skis.
It's like NASCAR.
Yeah.
Right, where you wipe out, you still finish. Yeah. You can actually get on the podium.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like. I mean, one, you have to be fast. Two, you got to know how to work with terrain. Three, you got to anticipate the other guys, which is probably the hardest thing to do.
Right.
And you have to study like competitors. Like, I never had that. You know. Issue when I was racing is just me against the terrain, the mountain, pretty much,
right.
and the
just
clock.
You on the mountain, right? Right.
And this
some cat takes himself out on a mogul in front of you, you're done, right?
So I go into ski cross, I go into this pro tour, did pretty well, and win X Games 2008. It's an Olympic sport all of a sudden. It's like, okay, I'm back. I'm going back to the Olympics, and I went back to Vancouver in 2010 for ski cross, and the second round, I'm in the top two. There's four guys at a time. The top two advance, and I was in second, just like last jump, last hit before the finish line. And a French guy comes from like just on the inside, like a turn that you wouldn't normally make unless you're like really desperate.
Desperate, right.
And has a full takeout move, and we went hit in the air like on this jump or right on the takeoff, and we both went upside down and exploded, and that was that. Like, I was out of the...
Oh, man.
I got back up. Oh. The guy in fourth was actually pretty far back. I got first. I was
like... You're like, I can finish, right?
Yeah,
I
it's like you said. Right. You could crash and you could still move on.
Right.
And I couldn't even breathe. The wind was knocked out of me. I got up, had one jump left, and then the finish line, and 10 feet before the finish line, the guy in fourth had enough momentum and came by and passed
you. Oh!
And so I just got to the finish, laid down, started, like, sucking wind, you know, and, like, just, like... And mostly kind of suck and win too, you know?
No, right.
But that was that. And, you know, I had definitely a rough go with those Olympic races. But
wouldn't you say, I mean, but each time, right, like, you know, 2006 Olympics, you know, kind of, it'd be, a lot of people wouldn't recover from that. I mean, that would be in their head every, you know, and I've seen it. I've seen it in business, Katrina.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Where, like, people have a failure and they're just like, oh, I'm... Like, and I've seen, I like partnerships.
Yeah.
Right? They're like,
but
oh,
you also seen the other side of the coin, too.
Huh? Yeah.
Where people hit rock bottom and rebuild.
Yeah.
And that's like what it's all about. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it's just the greatest thing in being a professional athlete or a successful business guy like yourself, Mike, is, you know, just you're going to have some hard times to deal with. And you got to, you know, put your head down and work through it and look at all the different angles, you know, step outside out of your shoes. And for us, we have a lot of coaches. I don't know if you have a lot of mentors or coaches of you, or maybe your colleagues.
No, but yeah, and actually, I've got professional coaches, right?
You know, you talk with, you know, and discuss like different angles. And for us as athletes, we have a huge like coaching staff. And I could not have done what I did without, you know, the U.S. Ski Team providing like a great staff for me to rely on, and then my teammates. And also all the other athletes around the world I'm competing is because they raise you to another level.
Right.
These guys are working hard. I want to outwork them, basically.
Right. The faster the group, right, the higher
so
the bar.
There's so much that you just got to, like, soak up like a sponge.
Right.
And then, like, you just create your own package is going to work for you individually, because everybody's different, you know?
So then,
what makes you tick is different than somebody else.
But, and that's where I will tell you, I've just found in life, but it's, you know, it's not necessarily the successes that define you, but it's the failures and what you do with them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I remember I was surfing in Southern California about a month ago, and the surf is just terrible, and the instructors kind of apologize. I said, you know what, when I get up on this board, it's gonna be my biggest success, because biggest challenges create the biggest successes. So let's do this when we come back. The number one thing on Bosma on Business, News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. Of course, we're still doing these one-hour consults. So if you need a second opinion on that tax return, you're wondering, why in the world with tax reform, with tax cuts, are you paying so much taxes? It's because you don't have the right team. In studio, Darren Ralphs, talking about his journey from Olympic prominence, from world championships, to kind of the business side of that. And as we talked about before the break, you know, just our biggest successes come out of the biggest challenges. And I think that's where I honestly think a lot of people out there, as they're looking at their taxes, in fact, this happens almost every day now, where people are saying, hey, I don't understand my tax situation. And unfortunately, there's just not a lot of skilled ability to manage your tax situation, other than they report, but they don't manage. And it's a big difference. So in studio, Katrina Lofton-Winkle. What a show.
I know.
I've liked that.
Cool.
I'm like completely stoked.
I know. It's a great show.
I haven't said stoked ever on the radio.
I don't recall.
So you're surfing in San Diego, right?
Right.
You got on that one wave, like,
right.
So stoked. Yeah. That's rad, dude. So yeah. when we're talking about, you know, kind of those biggest challenges and overcoming, what do you see in business? What's a big takeaway?
Well, I think the takeaway is, you know, I see people that are really successful in their business, and then people that aren't, and some people that are failing. And a lot of times, you know, you just have to just go on to your next venture or change or do something. But really, truly, your greatest successes can come out of your greatest failures if you just get back up and keep going.
Right.
You know.
Right. Fair enough. Darren Ralphs, is this the most decorated men's downhill skier?
Yes, in speed. So like downhill super G.
Right.
Combined, have the most World Cup wins. But like you said, Katrina, about you have to, like, for me, I've had to reinvent myself in a way to continue to like stay in the ski business and make it a career for myself, and from ski racing and the ski cross, went to filming Big Mountain, did stuff like Warren Miller, TGR, MSP, all these big film companies, but also like created this like snowboard and skiing series called the Ralph's Bonsai. So I got in that event promoter world, you know, and I have a good buddy up in Tahoe, Woody, that runs Crux Events, and he puts all this stuff on, like up in Tahoe mostly for, big companies that come in, like Google, to do something at Squaw or ski races, whatever, you know. But so I used him the first year to really kind of get this thing going. Right. We had one-off races in Sugar Bowl, my home resort up there. And it's basically, it's to find out who the best skier or snowboarder is on the mountain.
Okay.
Men and women.
Right.
There are not too many events that really blend ski and snowboard together. Mm-hmm. And men and women, like X Games or Olympics. Right. But so I was like, you know, to do something more grassrootsy and, you know, like, I've always been intrigued by going fast, and yes, mostly around gates, but I like using terrain and just going top to bottom of the mountain.
Right.
And so
the tree's a lot less forgiving than the gate.
Oh yeah. You don't want to hit a tree.
Right. Yeah.
No. And so, you know, I had to figure out, okay, are there people out there that want to do this,
compete
in it? Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, there was, like, okay, there's a list of people there, and can I get sponsorship for it? How am I going to you know, just work with the resorts. I mean, I had to deal with insurance and resort relationships and, you know, doing sponsorship. Like, before I had all these, like, this agent doing all this stuff for me.
Now you're kind of
prior to the Olympics
agent,
and World Cup, and now I'm like, I kind of want to take it on my own.
Right.
So, you know, for me, it was like, that was a new challenge in a way. And I had to figure out how to round up money and excitement and bring the best group of people I could together to have successful event.
Well, no, and I'll tell you, it's just from what I've seen, Darren, whatever you touch, you've got the Midas touch. It turns to gold, and so it's let's do this for next week. kind of the last run at the Olympics. More business awesome. And of course, Katrina, keep me in line. It's called Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.